ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Episode 12, Growing Through Transformation and Change with personal trainer and Instagram sensation, Alice Living.
Welcome to the Alternatively Healthy podcast. I am your host, Becky Rabin, personal trainer, wellness coach, and founder of online wellness magazine, Alternatively Healthy. This is your high-vibe, soul-soothing weekly dose of wellness. Each week, I will be getting up close and personal, bringing you conversation and insight with some of the wellness industry's most renowned health practitioners, coaches, experts, and thought leaders from around the world. Through our podcast, we hope to give you all the information, resources, and tools that you need to help shape the healthiest and happiest version of you.
Alice is a Sunday Times best-selling author of three books, personal trainer and Instagram sensation. Having catapulted into the industry while sharing her journey to become healthier, transformation has been a huge part to play in her career. I sit down with Alice to talk about how she has grown through change, dealt with challenges along the way, and overcome all of this to stick to her passion to help people lead as healthy a life as possible. So, hello, Alice. Welcome to the Alternatively Healthy podcast.
I'm really excited. It feels weird because we've literally been chatting for like half an hour already.
I know.
This is going to be a long one.
I'm really excited about this one today because I think the work that you do in the industry, the wellness industry, is absolutely amazing. I've always thought that the work that you do to proving your credibility, to working hard, to your books, to being the face of so many things, I think what you stand for in the industry is absolutely amazing. And obviously your achievements show that. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is something a little bit different, I guess, to maybe what people have focused on before, because I'm really trying to channel what our audiences are going through and kind of what they want to hear from. And I feel like for you, a really big thing has been transformation and change throughout your career from start to even now. On a personal level, I've seen a huge change on you from girl to woman in recent times. But I know that you actually kind of started in this industry with a transformation.
Yeah.
Which is why, for me, I thought, at first, I was like, do you know what? I would really like to talk to her about growing through change and learning to kind of overcome change, what challenges come with that. Mm-hmm. And as I dig deeper into what I was doing, I was like, oh my God, actually, your journey started with the whole transformation in itself. So tell us about your story into health and that first initial transformation, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I think there's been so many transformations along the way, but my initial one was obviously a physical one.
Yeah.
And actually, rightly or wrongly, I feel like that kickstarted my career in terms of everything I do through social media. And I'm extremely grateful for that. So when I was at university, and actually growing up through my teens, so I had quite a tumultuous teenage experience, and as I'm sure loads of people do. And I found it really hard to find my identity. And I constantly chameleoned myself to whichever group that I was falling into in terms of friends.
Yeah.
I had an emo phase, and then I had a chav phase, and I had a phase of being ridiculously preppy and wanting to be the popular girl. And yeah, just along with that, went through a lot of body confidence issues and stuff, as I'm sure so many, like, I don't think my story is in any way unique, but yeah, I went through loads of body confidence stuff where I really struggled with the way that I looked, and I constantly wanted to change that. And I guess going through that, I developed quite a disordered way of eating. My mum had and suffered terribly with binge eating disorder, and sort of growing up, I was very aware of that. And I guess I then sort of fell into that pattern of eating in terms of restricting myself quite a lot because I felt like that's what I needed to do in order to lose weight. But then at the weekends, just having all out binges and secretive binges and that kind of thing. And it was a very disordered way of eating, like I said. And I guess going away to university, I finally was in a place where I wasn't in the family home and I was able to have control of my food and what I was eating. And during the first year, that kind of led me on a path of just a lot of overeating. So I was doing everything that a student should do in their first year. I was drinking loads, I was boozing hardcore and loving it. And I was eating a lot of rubbish. So everything from like pizzas to ice cream. And I felt like I was always the person as well that, you know, we'd finish like the Domino's pizza and I would be the one to then go to the shop and get like an extra bag of spoons. just to top it off. Cause I was like, I still have room, even though my friends are like, I can't move. But yeah, so I think that went for a certain while and it, you know, it was great fun, but I was at university doing a performance degree as a dancer and a singer, and it was very aesthetically driven. So I had to spend every single day in a leotard, in a mirror, in pink tights. And I found that having eaten so badly for a year and having put on quite a lot of weight, I found that a real challenge. And I decided at the end of that year that if I wanted to be successful in the career that I wanted to do, which was to be in musicals and to be in the theatre, I needed to be a bit healthier, basically. And I found that my studies were definitely being affected towards the end of that year. So like cognitive function was pretty poor, picking up routines in class. And I was just constantly hungry because I was just eating all the wrong things. So then towards the end of that year, I started following a few people online that were doing a similar thing to what I started doing. I saw people eating well and posting pictures of their meals and stuff. And then I decided that I was going to set up a private page where I would try to kind of refine my love for food. And I think that's definitely what started it. I wanted to enjoy food again. I'd lost that love for just eating well and eating good foods. And food just became fuel. And it was just kind of like in, out, done, eaten. So I, started to cook meals and take pictures of them and make them look really nice and try and eat foods that I knew were going to be good for me. So I did some reading online and I started having things like eggs and porridge for breakfast instead of just cereal. Yeah. And yeah, it just sort of started that way. And I guess, like you said, with the transformation photos, as a result, my physique had quite a drastic change as I started to eat better. And I wasn't eating less, I was just eating very differently. Mm-hmm. And
were you training at this point still?
Sort of. So I sort of started to get into the gym, but even at the time then, I was still a cardio bunny. Like, yeah. I was hardcore on the treadmill. I'd clock watch the entire time, wait for that 20 minutes to be up and then be like, "Ooh, done."
Yeah.
Thank God for that. But yeah, so I was doing that, but that was it. And it was only actually later on, so maybe like a couple of months into the journey, I guess, that I discovered weight training. A PT at my gym had been like, "Oh, you should try, you know, doing some squats and things like that," and introduced me to like the basic kind of lifts. So like basic squat, you know, some sort of a deadlift, presses, pulls, that kind of thing. And from there, that was when I fell in love with weight training.
Yeah. So really it was for you more about the food at the beginning and your relationship with mastering the food, which is so interesting. And I think what I find interesting from that is that actually your start to finish, your start there wasn't, I want to get in good shape. It was, I want to feel good.
Mm.
And you were chasing to feel good in your bikini or in your dance wear, but like not necessarily look good because the gym kind of came after. Mm. It was more about the food.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that generally as an industry we've kind of forgotten, is that we kind of all started this to feel better. I was exactly the same. I was ill and wanted to make myself feel better. I needed to nourish myself rather than look good. And somewhere along the lines we kind of got caught up in this look good feel. And you mentioned there about like struggling with your body image all the time, and it is something that I want to touch on, because body image is such a huge thing in the industry at the moment, and equally so are transformations and transformation photos. But what is it about body image that you think, why do we as women struggle so much, and kind of what are the struggles you really faced with and how did you get over them?
So I think, you know, there's been a few mistakes that I made along the way that I feel are really pinnacle in how I now feel. I think one of them is linking the way you look physically to health. In my opinion, there's no correlation between the way you physically look and optimal health, because you can be a slim, really muscly, you know, really look physically amazing, but inside have like, you know, really poor gut health, really poor sleeping habits. You could be incredibly stressed, suffering from anxiety, all of those things. And, you know, I made the mistake of probably letting my body fat percentage go too low and thinking that that was the healthiest that I could be. And actually, you know, in hindsight and on reflection, it probably wasn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not one to sit back and say, you know, I've never made any mistakes. I absolutely think that that was something that I was, it was just unsustainable. And, you know, because I'd come from X and ended up at Y, which was this really low body fat percentage, it felt like such an achievement. And hence, I wanted to hang on to that place so badly. But then as I started to develop an understanding of, I guess, more what health is.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really came second was, at first I wanted to feel good, and I did feel good, and I wanted to look good, and I did look good, and I felt freaking great.
Yeah.
But then it was like, is this sustainable? No. Is it healthy? And am I ticking all the boxes of what I think actually healthy is? No. So moving from there, I guess, I mean, I don't post my transformation photos very much anymore. Not that I'm not proud of them, I am, but I just think for me, my job online is so much more now about getting people to optimum health, which doesn't equal fat loss.
Yeah.
Because
Which is really interesting. It's a that's the transformation in itself, which we'll go on to, because at the moment we're very much talking about your early stage. So when these transformation photos came out, and for you it was an overnight thing, wasn't it? Your followers just grew, and all of a sudden you were like just this woman that everyone knew about, and it was very early on in the in the industry, and I guess we were all kind of very new to it. So I guess what then happened for you? What came for you with this like rise of the fame and the people knowing you? Because now we're obviously in a different place with what health means to you. You don't post those transformation photos, which is something we'll definitely come on to. I think it's really interesting that you don't. But how did that change, that whole change of your life? So I imagine at that moment your life changed. How did you overcome that? Like, what did you do? Like, how did it feel? And
So, yeah, it's really interesting because it was literally overnight. I had a Daily Mail article that picked up on one of my transformation photos. And I think in a day I got 20,000 followers. And that was, you know, at first you're sat at your kitchen table, like trying to take a picture on your crappy iPhone. And the next thing you've got like the Daily Mail contacting you. You've got like loads of people emailing you, offering you X, Y, and Z, wanting to send you free stuff. And it was overwhelming. And for me, I feel like what's kept me sane and what's kept me not letting it get to my head is the fact that, one, when it all happened, I was away on tour. So I was working an incredibly taxing job where I was doing between 8 to 10 shows a week and doing a job that I love and I miss it so much. But I was in a room full of girls that kept my feet on the ground. So I shared a dressing room with a woman who is, I'm going to say she's 50 plus because she probably won't like me saying how exactly old she is, but she was 50 plus. And another girl called Sinead, who's like one of my really good friends, and she's the same age as me. And you know, they became my family for the year because I was on the road for a year living out of a suitcase in a different city every week. And so when things really started to take off and, you know, these emails started coming in, it would be really exciting. And I'd get an email and I'd say, oh guys, like I've just been emailed this, but they'd really keep my feet on the ground. And then, you know, I'd get in, dressed in my costume, go on stage and be able to perform and forget about everything. So I was able to keep a distance. I didn't just sort of wake up one day with all these new followers and think, oh my God, I've made it. Do you know what I mean? I was still working really hard. And the other thing is my mom is like the biggest influence in terms of keeping me, I guess, I hate the word, but keeping me really humble. Like she's never let me get above my station. And she's always made sure that no matter how much success I get, it's always like, that's amazing, but you still need to come home and you still need to do the dishes. And like, if you leave your room in a mess, like clean it. Do you know what I mean?
So, it's amazing.
So, you know, like I think there are a couple of things that have really, really helped. But I think as well, like behind the scenes through that time, there was loads of stuff that was going on. I don't know whether you remember, but I was working with a company called London Muscle. And they were really integral to my early years. And lots of stuff went on there. And I'll never, ever badmouth people. But I found it as a young 21-year-old girl going through all of these things and having people that want to manipulate your career in certain ways and have a piece of the pie for themselves, that's quite challenging. And I found that a really, really difficult thing. So I think the fact that that was going on behind the scenes meant that, like, actually, it was a challenging, it was a challenging time. I am actually incredibly in awe of the fact that I, not in awe, that sounds like I'm like blowing my own trumpet, but I'm amazed that I managed to keep up everything for that year. Because during the year of tour, which I will admit was one of the toughest years of my life, I wrote my first book, I went through complete heartbreak and got cheated on and, you know, all of that kind of thing.
Which
and
we know is just the worst thing
in the world. Yeah. And yes, there's so many things happened that, yeah, I guess I'm amazed that I continued it, but I'm so glad that I did, because coming out the other side of tour, I think that's when I really grew up and I was like, oh my God, I've had such a year of building and learning and growing, and now this is my time to really grab this opportunity which is in front of me in terms of what I have with the social media stuff and everything with both hands and just run with it for as long as I can.
Which I think is super amazing from your part, because you've essentially seen a challenge. Obviously, the positive things were going on around you, but you took a challenge and you took something that was quite tough to deal with and you saw the positives in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really big lesson at the moment that a lot of the conversations I'm having with people is coming up, is that everything you go through happens for a reason and there is a reason behind it. And I guess for you, how did you handle having so many people tell you what to do, what to say, or just pointing their opinions on you? Because what I also feel like with a lot of the work that I do and the girls that I get is that they're quite scared to do what they want to do or change their career or transform what they perhaps, who they're friends with or just anything, because they're worried about what people will think of them. It completely crippled me for years.
Yeah.
So how did you then, like, especially now, I guess, even in the place that you're in, how do you deal with people saying what they want to say about you and overcome it and just block out and put your blinkers on?
Yeah, I think I have developed over the years a very thick skin, but I still can be reduced to tears by one comment. I mean, like, I think it's the nature of the job, and what I've come to realise is that actually almost trying to be too thick-skinned with everything in life makes me way more anxious than if I actually have a cry, tell someone how I feel and just deal with it and move on. I'm a crier. Like, I love a cry, and it always is, I find them the most cathartic things, just to, like, it's really self-indulgent, I know, but literally just let it out, sob my heart out, and then move on.
Yeah.
And that's my way of...
You're handling the feelings.
Yeah, that's my way of dealing with things. So I tend to do that quite a lot. But also, I think what I've realised is that I thrive off having a good support network around me. And in those early years, I didn't feel like those people in that business had my best intentions at heart.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had a manager, so I was with different management, and I felt like they were appalling in terms of dealing with a girl who is literally being pushed to breaking point in terms of everything that I was being asked to do. You know, I had to deliver a 50,000 word book whilst also doing two shows a day, being exhausted beyond belief, and no one was really listening to how I was actually feeling. I remember, oh my God, one of the worst things, I was in the car driving back from, I think it was Manchester, and I was so exhausted, and I think I'd finished the show. No, I didn't finish the show. It was on a Sunday, so we did two shows on a Saturday, and then it was a Sunday morning, and I had one day to be able to get home, see my mum and dad, to then go to our next destination that evening. And my manager rang me, and she was like, why have you not delivered this word? And I was like, look, I've spoken to my literary agent, I've cleared it with her, I've just said I need a little bit more time. And she was like, do you know the reputation that you're putting out there, and do you know how people are now going to blacklist you? And honestly, like, I just think sometimes we need to have a little bit more compassion for people, and I found that hardened my skin. And no bad feelings now with that management, you know, like, we ended on good terms, and I moved on to someone who I feel really gets me, and we work incredibly well together. But yeah, it was definitely a challenge, and I've realized coming through that having a really good support network around me of people that aren't in the industry, you know, like my boyfriend, my mom, my friends that I was friends with at college, they are all really imperative to keeping my feet on the ground and making sure that I stay sane, because people can be nasty. It happens all the time. I have some horrific comments and messages from people that, you know, will blame you for World War II or things like that. Not World War II, but, you know, they'll blame you for everything and anything, and it's all your fault. And so it's about having those people that you can lean on, and you can just take a step back and be able to refine reality out of the social realms.
And I definitely think as well for you, like, it, I see with you and everything, I know you're obviously on a personal level, and I see that you really always just come back to what your message is and what you're here to do, and here to help people, or here to make a change. And I think that's what I always say to people, like, if you're worried about what people are thinking about you, the only person that's getting hurt by that is you. And, like, you know, there's so much content that I now do on my Instagram that I never used to because I was worried about what people would say. And now I'm like, you know what, if I've helped one person with that message today, then I've done a good job. And I don't care how many likes it got from other people, as long as one person made a life-changing change, that's great. And I think another thing you said there, which I do really want to focus on, is the fact that you say you're a grower and you actually go through the feelings and you deal with those emotions. And I think that is something that I really want people on this, like, when they're listening to this podcast, to take away that, like, we've become this industry of strong, not skinny. That's kind of what happened. Let's be strong, let's be strong, let's weight train, let's be empowered, let's be, like, hard women. And I think and with it comes with a lot of that is that we've actually forgotten to be vulnerable and we've forgotten to feel and ask ourselves how we're feeling. So by the sounds of it, you actually sit at home and you say, how am I feeling? You cry it all out, you deal with it and you let it go, which is, I don't even think you realise, but it's such a empowering message for people to take away, because a lot of people I know don't even handle those emotions, don't even deal with them.
But I also think, like, I used to feel so much guilt for being sad, crying, you know, asking for help, because in my head I'm like, well, there's always someone that's worse off than me, there's always someone that's going through worse things than me, like, stop being such an idiot, you know. And I also think it's really difficult because social media allows us to see into other people's lives and what's going on so much more than we used to. So whereas sometimes I might, you know, have a bad day, go home and have a cry and just, like, let that be it, I'll go home and I'll see that, you know, someone's had an awful day or so many worse things are happening to other people, and I think, oh God, I don't deserve to be upset. Why am I upset? And then, you know, sometimes I don't, and it is a bit self-indulgent, but also we have every right. And I think what's important to me that I've learned is, like, my issues are within the context of everything that I've experienced in my life. So if something feels awful to me, that's because in the context of my life, it is.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that to the next person who's maybe going through something way worse, it'll be, you know, water off a duck's back. But for me, it feels very real and very upsetting. And I allow myself to give in to those emotions and cry and get over it and move on. But I also think, like, just talking about it, because a lot of people are so scared just to be like, God, I'm really struggling. No matter how small your issue is, if it feels real to you, it's real.
Mm.
Like, there are so many things that I think to myself, God, if I even said that out loud, people would be like, how ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'll ring Patrick and be like, oh my God, I'm really upset about this because she said this to someone and I didn't get included in the tweet and I'm really upset. And, like, it is ridiculous. It is. But, like, if I held that in, it would probably snowball into something so much worse than it needed to be. So, you know, I am going to say it, and he might laugh at me, and it might sound ridiculous, but I feel better for getting it off my chest, and I feel better for even just saying it. And I think we need to stop being so scared of, like, just letting things go, letting things off our chest, and just talking about, no matter how small, the things that get to us, because, like I said, things snowball.
Yeah.
So it might have just been a little thing, but then if you hold that in, it'll be, oh, then something on top of that, and they compound into feeling way worse than if you just dealt with the initial issue.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you, and I think it is something that, as an industry of girls, we need to learn to definitely channel our feelings a little bit more and ask ourselves. I think we're all going 100 miles an hour sometimes, and we don't even stop and say, why am I doing this today, or why am I working out today, or why am I, like, what is that? And I guess for you, like, there is, like, tons of transformation, because your next one is something a little bit about change. So you obviously, in this industry, this musical industry, that was your love, that was your passion, that's where you wanted to go, and then this other kind of job came up out of nowhere and you had to make a decision at one point, didn't you? And I remember really early on being like, when you were juggling them both, I was like, she's gonna have to make it. I can't remember who it was I was saying it to. I think it was someone at your management that works there. I think it was our friend Ollie, and I was just like, she's gonna have to make a decision at some point. That's gonna be tough. Like, how did you make that decision? Because one of the biggest questions I get asked sometimes is how I made the decision to actually leave my full-time career to pursue what I love. And it wasn't that I loved one more than the other. I actually did love my career in advertising, and I guess you loved your career in musical. So how did you make that change and kind of just take that risk?
So it's one of two things. The first thing is that what I love about the performance industry is the performing. So I love being on stage, doing what I love, being able to sing, dance, act, dress up, like, do all of that. I just thrive off it, and nothing will beat that feeling of a round of applause at the end of, like, a show where you've worked your ass off, you've sweated buckets, and you just feel incredible, and people stand up for you and just give you the biggest clap. Like, that is amazing. But there's another side to the industry that is horrific. It's so competitive. I mean, I don't know a more competitive industry. I really, really don't. Where there are so many people vying for the same job, it's all judged off the way you look. So you could walk into an audition, and just because you might be too small, too tall, you might have blonde hair, they want brunettes, just off the way you look, you won't get the job straight up, and you'll already be cut, and you won't even open your mouth to...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Seeing you won't even have done one dance step. So that's a challenge. And then beyond that, it's really, really, really hard because when I was going through the decision, so towards the end of my contract on the show, all the people that I was working with, and I mean, some of the most talented people that I know were auditioning for jobs at the same time, and they were getting cut from the first round. And I'm like, how? Yeah. Why? But I mean, like, you should walk into a job. My dance partner, Mikey, God love him, was one of the most talented dancers I've ever, ever come across. He was incredible. And he was getting no's from auditions. And I was like, I just don't get it. And for me, it was like, look, there's a side of the industry that I love and I will always be able to perform to some extent, you know, even if it's just hiring a scene coach and just doing it in my living room, I'll be able to do that. But I don't know if I'm thick-skinned enough to be able to put myself through that audition process again and to be constantly judged on the way I look, because I'd come to a place where I was so happy and so confident in my body, in my who I was and what I was doing. And then, you know, to be broken down like that following such a year of growth was going to be too much.
Yeah.
So I was like, do you know what? I'm going to have to knock it on the head for now. Take some time out, focus on the social media stuff, which was really exciting. And, you know, my book came out towards the end of the tour. So there was all of the stuff that went along with that. And I just was like, let me give this a go and see how I got on with it.
Which is so interesting, actually, because then from the sounds of it, actually, yours was because you've done all this growing. You've kind of grown out of that, not the industry itself, but grown out of what comes with the industry. Mm. And actually, maybe a little bit of fear was what was holding you back in a way to like go, do you know what? No, I'm going to stick at this.
Mm.
And I know how horrible that industry can be. My whole entire family are in music. And it actually, that I was a dancer, I physically didn't even, I wanted to go to the Brit School and I didn't even apply because I'd watched my cousin in Les Mis do like 5 years of it and then come off the back of it and be like, well, okay,
and
where
work,
now?
Yeah.
And out of work. And my sister's in the songwriting industry and it's a constant battle.
It's honestly
toxic.
Like, yeah, it really is.
It's kind of such a shame, but I guess that leaves the door still open for you to kind of maybe go back into that with a different mindset now, a different place and a different viewpoint.
Absolutely.
So I guess that transformation, and then one of the more recent ones was the name change. Which I, again, know exactly every probably thought that would have gone through your head with the name change, because I did it too, and it's a big risk, and a lot comes with it.
Yeah.
What was it behind that change that really made you go, do you know what, I'm done with cleaning Alice, and I want to just be Alice?
Oh, lots of things. Okay, so the first reason was the most obvious one, you know, like clean eating. When I first started and chose the name, and I always use the analogy of like, you know, when you choose your first email address when you're at school, it's like, mine was sexy_bunnygirl, which is horrific, but you know, like,
I'm Becky Poser.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things, like, I liked the idea of, like, I'd heard clean eating being thrown around, and I was like, I know, I'm going to call myself Clean Eating Alice.
Yeah.
And there was no thought that went into it. There was not, like, I wasn't aligning myself with, I had no idea what clean eating even was. It just, to me, was like, oh, I'm going to eat a bit healthier, so I'm going to call myself that.
Mm.
And then the movement of clean eating, and I guess the term clean eating became a big umbrella term for loads of different things that fell under it, which went from everything from, like, veganism to paleo to just really restrictive ways of eating.
Yeah, well,
and other restrictive ways of eating. And I didn't feel like I aligned with any of those. I still ate everything. I never sort of cut anything out or was eating in a restrictive way. But I felt like I was being lumped together with that kind of movement and almost being blamed for a lot of things. I really, really struggled. Like, I remember, oh God, it was awful. I was away with Sana in Greece and we were on this amazing trip, and suddenly this article came out in the Daily Mail, and it was like, to a certain degree, just blaming myself and a few others for things like eating disorders. And and I have never felt, I remember sobbing my absolute heart out in this villa with Sana. I was just like, I'm so sorry, but, and I was crying my eyes out because I felt so much guilt at the fact that people were like throwing that accusation at me as someone who had never ever started this to be more than anything than just my own little blog. And suddenly it's like you're in the national press being blamed for all of these things, and it was like, oh my God, what have I created? Like, what have I done? And I rang my best friend Lewis, who's my best gay friend. He was like, don't be so ridiculous, like, you know, he's my, one of my go-to people that I ring when I'm really, really feeling like shit. And you know, I managed to pick myself back up slowly but surely. But I realized, I think at that point, that it was like, I can't keep dealing with people blaming me for that kind of stuff. And so yeah, that was the first reason. And then the second was just like, I felt like my brand had evolved a lot over the time that I'd been called Clean Eating Alice, to the point that I felt like it was much more personal than I ever realized it was initially going to be. Because at first it was just the food, and it was all just pictures of food. There was none really of myself. It was all just pictures of food. So then I realized over that year that it'd become a lot more personal, and I wanted to show myself more. I wanted it to be a more of like a personality-led brand rather than just food. So I went through lots of discussions with my management about whether it'd be a good idea. I felt quite strongly about it. Obviously, it was difficult because I published three books under the name Clean Eating Alice. And so that was a bit of a challenge, but one that my publishers were really understanding of. And so, yeah, then it was just all go.
So it was ultimately the belief in wanting to be you. You, that was just like, you know what, I don't even care what comes with it.
Absolutely. And like, just being yourself, you have total freedom over what you're doing, rather than being tied down to being, oh, that's Clean Eating Alice. You know, it already predicts what you're going to be. Whereas if you're just your name, there are so many different things that I feel like I can talk about and do, because my brand is so much broader than just food.
And how has it evolved, what you want to talk about? Because I, from a personal level, from like being in the same industry as a colleague and a friend as watching you grow, I've seen probably the biggest transformation beyond your aesthetics, beyond everything, in your most recent kind of months, because I feel like your voice has changed. I feel like your message that you're kind of saying to people has gone way beyond just fitness. If anything, like, really quite far beyond. How has your voice changed? Like, how has what you define as wanting to help people and wellness changed?
I guess, like, I've grown up, I've had a lot of industry experience, like working one-to-one with people. You know, like, I left the show and started working as a personal trainer.
So far.
PTing
people.
And so I started to understand, like, and empathise with more what people who were following me might be going through and might be challenged by, might be feeling. And I think that gave me loads of experience to then feed back into the content that I was putting out. But I also think, like, I myself feel like I've been on such a big roller coaster of a journey. Pretty much from the start of when I started doing what I was doing, I've been in a relationship now for 18 months, and I completely credit my boyfriend with, like, allowing me to just be a lot happier, be myself, have someone to voice my ideas off, to cry to, you know, do all of those things with. And he's really kept me sane and helped me so much over the last 18 months. But also, like, I feel like I've just, I don't know, you know, when you just grow up a little bit and you just think, God, like, there are so many bigger things that I'd like to talk about. And I feel like I've experienced a lot in my life, and some of that stuff I would never have shared 2 or 3 years ago. And I feel like now I've just got to the point where I've been like, I really feel ready. And I think it's about feeling ready, and it's about knowing that opening up online isn't for everyone, but I feel like for me, and with a platform of really engaged and young women who I know that I can speak to and help, I have a responsibility to be able to use that in a way that I feel is best. And I think talking about things like mental health, talking about things like the journey that I've been on and what I've learned along the way, is what I see as my job. I think it's really important that as someone who does have a profile and a voice, I should be doing. And the fact that I have experienced certain things, I feel have given me such a good understanding of what other people might be going through, means that I don't feel like I'm an authority on the subject at all, not at all, but I give a very personal account, and I think that's what people can relate to. And also, like, I mean, I know we were talking about this before we came onto here, but just making myself more of a brand and evolving everything that I'm doing beyond just social media posts, I think that's been really something that I've been thinking about doing for the last couple of months, working really, really closely with a charity now, Women's Aid, who are amazing. And I'm filming with them today, actually. I'm very excited. But doing stuff for charity, like, that to me is, like, it's really important, and it means that I'm giving something back into an organisation that I feel are doing such amazing things. But also then, like, hiring someone, like, that is mega, and I'm interviewing people at the moment, which is really weird and really scary, but kind of exciting at the same time, and means that, like, things are just growing beyond just a social media page, and I'm really excited for what that's going to bring.
And how do you find that? I mean, it is amazing that you have taken that, like, shift and that change to be like, you know what, this is what I want to do with my life. How hard is it when you're someone with such a huge voice? Like, I found it hard enough, and I have a very small voice in the industry compared to yours, but, like, I found it hard enough changing my message a bit without worrying that I would lose out on that, or worrying that I would lose out on this, or that these people would be like, do you even know who you are? And I think it's really important, because this whole podcast is for, I think as women, we go through a bit of a growing up change. And all of a sudden, everything that was important to us 5 years ago is now no longer important to us. It's quite hard to, like,
absolutely
overcome that.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like I probably lost people along the way who were like, hey, I thought you were into, like, food and fitness. Why are you talking about mental health? Why are you talking about that? And that's fine. And, like, I'm sure my audience who have grown up with me and have been there from, you know, like, the early days, some of them might not necessarily relate to my message anymore. And that's absolutely fine. I'm totally aware of the fact that, like, people grow and change and their interests differ as they get older. So, you know, that's absolutely fine. In terms of, like, worrying about my message, I think underlying everything that I've always done with my social media and with my business and everything has been that authenticity is at the key and at the heart of everything that I do. My business is myself, me, and therefore I have to remain as true to myself with my message, with my brand, with everything as I can possibly do. So if that means that I start talking about things that at the moment are interesting to me and I feel like are worth chatting about, I'm going to, because that's authentic to where I am at that time and in that place. And I hate how social media has become a numbers game, because things might not get as good engagement, or, you know, it might not be that something does as well as the next post, or, you know, my fitness videos are doing great, but it might just be that another post where I talk about something slightly different, it doesn't do as well. That's fine, but, like, ultimately my overarching message is one of, this is me, this is my life, this is what I'm going through, and you can either come along for the ride or you can just step in and out to the stuff that you really want to listen to. But I know, underlying that, that my core message is as authentic as it can possibly be. So that's what I just try and do. And that's my kind of life lesson, I guess, with that.
Which is an element of sitting down and having to ask yourself, right, what makes me happy? What am I interested in? I think a big thing going on in the industry at the moment is people are, yes, obsessed with numbers, but I guess for someone that maybe isn't in social media or numbers aren't a thing, they're obsessed with what they have, the things that they do, their achievements. Like, our egos are so ingrained to feel like we are what we have, or what we do, or what people think of us. And quite often we don't really ever ask ourselves, what do I want, and what really makes me happy? Or, like, you know, 4 years ago I went to the gym because I went for this reason, and I probably hadn't asked myself 4 years why I was going anymore. And as you get older, it becomes more about feeling good and getting your body ready for it. Like, it's crazy the change that you go through.
Absolutely.
But it's so interesting to kind of hear. And one of the things I read that you wrote, and I really, really loved it, was that you were like, maybe the journey isn't about becoming anything, maybe it's about undoing everything to be who you want to be. How have you had to change what you believe in? Like, is that something you feel really sits with you, that actually you're undoing all the things that you thought you believed in?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of everything that I've been doing on social media in the last couple of months has been, like, having to relearn everything that I thought, and showing people that I made mistakes. I think people think that just because I've got massive numbers and that I've gone on this massive journey with everything, that I somehow did everything right, but actually I made so many mistakes along the way, and I'm totally cool with admitting that. And I think that's really, really important for people to know, is that for everything that seems like it's going right, there are 10 other things that went wrong, and there are loads of things that didn't happen, there are loads of brand partnerships that didn't work out, there are loads of friendships that like have come and gone, and people that have supported me and not supported me. And I think that's all part of growing up, isn't it? That you, I think I had an idea of how I wanted my life to plan out, and yeah. I had an idea of how I wanted everything. And also, like, and this is the worst thing about social media, is like we always want to show the best bits. Like we always want to show like, this is where I've been, this is what I've got, this is what I'm doing. But actually, like, I think I started to realise that there wasn't much in that. I just didn't find it as fulfilling as talking about stuff that I really care about. So, but also I'm really, really bad at blogging. Like, I'm actually the worst blogger going. I'm really bad. Like, I actually really don't like having to pose for photos and stuff. I find it so cringy. Yeah. And even when I was in Jamaica just now, like, poor Paddy was like, I was like, I need to get a photo. I'm really sorry. We'll do it really quickly. Can you just take 10 and then we're done? But I don't enjoy necessarily as much that side of things. You know, it's something that I do for my job, yes. And, you know, if I'm working with brands and stuff, I have to get content that's going to work for them. But the parts of my job that I love the most is, like, putting on an event and being able to chat to people afterwards and get pictures with people and do all of that kind of thing, where I'm meeting people face to face. Or, you know, like, this sounds really, really bad because it's such a small portion of everything I do, but like my PT when I'm with my clients, that's some of the most fulfilling hours of my day. Like, even if it's two incredible people in the morning, I literally love it. I love my job, and I think that's another thing that just keeps me completely sane.
Talking about social media, obviously, it is a big part, but what are your thoughts? Because you said you don't really share your transformation photos anymore.
Yeah.
And the transformation is probably the biggest trend going on in the Instagram world.
I
kind of feel a little bit like everyone's had a transformation and everyone's grown and everyone's changed.
Mm.
But what are your thoughts on the trend and, like, people's, what it means? Like, I don't know. Like, what is the reason behind maybe why you don't share yours anymore?
I guess the reason why I don't share mine anymore is because I became known for just being that. I became known for literally taking my body from A to B. And I felt like over the last 4 years, I have become so much more than that. Because, and it's funny, like, sometimes when I do things like podcasts or events and stuff, I'm like, so what do you want us to say about you? And I say, well, I'm a personal trainer. That's my job. I'm a best-selling author.
Yeah.
I also am an influencer along with that. But that's sort of like the third thing that I say. I will never, ever forget the fact that my transformation is probably why I'm here today.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very grateful for, you know, that. And I think they are really powerful. And when you look at them, they're great. But now I feel like I've come past that and I want to be known for so much more than that. Yeah. You know, I have, it sounds really big-headed, but, like, I've got a brain. Yeah. I've got things that I think, I've educated myself a hell of a lot in terms of fitness and my S&C and, like, personal training. Like, I feel like I know a lot and I've got a lot that I want to share. And also, like, I've got, like, stuff that I want to say that just is more than just a transformation photo. And ultimately, it's that I want to be known for more than that.
Yeah.
I don't want people just to think of me as the girl that, you know, got a six pack. It's like, I want to be more than just a Daily Mail headline.
I think for me, the biggest message in all of this for people listening at home is that there is so much more to you, to anyone, to all of you listening, than what you look like.
Yeah.
Or what your transformation of your body might look like.
Absolutely.
And all of those years of chasing that change in your body, without chasing that change, what's really clearly happened to you is your mindset has changed.
Exactly.
You've grown a lot.
That was just about to, what I was about to say. Like, I wish 3 years ago I could take back the photo and instead have one of showing me exactly as I look now.
Yeah.
And just saying, like, this is where I feel like as a person I've come to, and I've changed my mind, and that's way more powerful than changing your body. And look, like, hold my hands up and say, like, that was the worst mistake I did, was base my worth off the way that I looked and let people to judge me on the way that I looked, when I felt, and at the time it was great, but now I'm just like, I feel like I'm so much more than that, and I don't just want to be judged off, you know, my physical attributes.
I think that's why people are craving podcasts, and they're craving more, because they're not getting what they want now going to the gym for that one whole thing. And that's my biggest message at the moment. I think some people are trying to think that I might be saying, like, don't work out, or work out less, or calm it down. It's not that. I'm just saying, until you are happy in your own mindset and in your own headspace, you will never ever get the results you're craving for in the gym. You know, you were in your best shape of your life and you were not the happiest. You know, you weren't in the place where you wanted to be. I was in the best shape of my life 4 years ago and I was so unhappy, but, like, I hated myself.
I say that to my clients. I'm like, there is no magic pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or at the end of, like, reaching 10 stone, say.
Yeah,
there's no sort of, yeah, there's no sort of, suddenly you get to that weight and you're like, yep, yeah, I'm happy, yeah, tick the box, that's it, life made, yeah, amazing, let me just stroll off and live happily ever after. It doesn't happen like that. And also, like, we should never base our worth off the way that we look. Like, if you had to write down on paper pros and cons of what you love about yourself and what you don't love about yourself, I can't tell you how many of my clients, yeah, write down physical things. They write down, I don't like my legs, I don't like my bum, I quite like my eyes, I sometimes think that I, you know, I like, yeah, my arms, but only sometimes.
It's all physical.
I don't like my, you know, like, everything will be physical. And I say, well, okay, well, scrap back for a second, like, what have you achieved in the last 5 years, work-wise, with your family? You'd be like, okay, well, I'm a good mom. Mm. I've got 3 kids, they're all really happy, okay, perfect. I work really hard, I'm really motivated. Like, there are so many positive qualities that you could actually find about, yeah, yourself that you like, if we remove that sense, yeah, of just basing how we are worth off the way that we, yeah, look.
No.
And we think other people do as well. That's the other thing, is, yeah, that it's not just in ourselves. Like, I have clients who are in really powerful, high successful jobs, and they genuinely base their worth and their ability to do their job off the way that they look. Like, I had, I can't name any names, but like one client who was going over to America for a big, big, big meeting, and she was so concerned about the way that she would look when she went to that meeting. And it was like, I honestly don't think anyone in that room is going to base your worth, yeah, in your job off the way that you look. Yeah. They're going to want you to go over there and smash out an amazing presentation, and they couldn't care whether you were big, yeah, small, tall, whatever. It's just, can you deliver, yeah, on your job? Which you absolutely can.
Yeah. And we've just got to drop worrying about what people think of us, mm, and start worrying about what we think of us. Mm. It's really the only,
yeah,
the only thing that matters. And I think that's absolutely amazing. And I guess, thank you so much. I guess what I was trying to get at with this whole thing is that transformation has been one of the biggest parts of your journey from start to literally right now. You've gone through so many of them, yet the aesthetic one might have been what kind of catapulted your career, but really is like the most minimal thing that you see as part of your career or who you are. And I guess I was like, I know this is going to go somewhere, but I guess it's kind of gone exactly where I wanted it to go.
Good.
Is that we're not just what we look like, and there's so much more to us, and growth and change are okay. It's okay to also change what you
look
like.
And I think it's important, like, I'm not here suddenly and I've arrived and I'm like, this is where I'm going to stick, yeah, for the next 20 years. Like, I want to keep evolving.
Yeah.
That's what life is about. It's about learning new things, experiencing new things, and constantly evolving as a result of that,
yeah,
rather than just trying to reach perfection, yeah, and then never really quite making it.
Well, that was actually one of the things that I was going to ask you is, and I guess we'll finish on that, is like knowing that there is no such thing as perfect and it's okay to not be perfect, right?
Isn't it the most liberating thing, yeah, though? That, like, yeah, there is no such thing as perfection.
Yeah.
Unless someone's doing a deadlift, in which I might say,
okay, form,
they can do that,
yeah,
quite well. I know what you mean. Like, there is no such thing as perfection. And I have so many amazing friends that are in this industry. And what I've learned ultimately is that we go about doing this job in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And all of us are successful in our own rights, but we're all doing it, yeah, in a completely different way. And that's okay. The less you start worrying about what everyone else is doing around you and instead carve your own path, the better.
Yeah, no, I think one of my contributors, she has a community of mums, and she really hit home with me when she said, when your child comes to you and is upset because she's not perfect, you will completely teach her that she is imperfect, like, she is perfectly imperfect, and you teach her it's okay to not be perfect. Why don't we do that to ourselves? And,
yeah,
it really stuck with me that,
yeah,
like, that's how we would treat our children or our friends, so we should treat ourselves. So thank you so much. And what else, anything exciting coming from you this year, or what can we expect?
Loads of stuff.
Major changing things.
I know.
Your app as well, your 12-week transform
with Women's Health.
Women's,
so that
Health,
that came,
yeah,
out a couple months ago. There's lots of stuff coming up. There's a lot of stuff that's like more businessy. So it's a case of like having to get investment and like do all really serious things that are like quite scary. I've got like some really big meetings coming up. So yeah, it's all really exciting, all really good stuff, and I'm looking forward to the year ahead.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pleasure. And guys, you can check out all the show notes on the website, and all Alice's details will be below in the app itself. So yeah, thank you so much. See you later.
You have been listening to the Alternatively Healthy Wellness Podcast series by Becky Rabin. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please feel free to leave your comments and feedback below, and don't forget to give us a lovely little rating. For more information on our podcasts, other episodes, and to find out more about what we do, please visit www.alternativelyhealthy.co.uk. And remember, shaping the healthiest version of you means looking purely at you.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.